104.5 The Zone. Saturday morning sports talk continues with insight and analysis from some of the industry's best. This is Forkless Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Now, your host, former Tennessee coordinator, Doug Matthews.
Good morning and welcome into Forkless Systems Sports Saturday. Well, a lot to talk about today. Obviously, the NCAA tournament going on. Bill Justice will join us at the top of the second hour. We'll have him on the whole hour talking about what we've seen so far. Tony Barnhart will join me here in just a second. We'll be taking a look at spring practice and then some off the field really important things going on that's not going to that will eventually not only affect college football but probably all college sports. Some things happening in that world, and we'll be talking about it today. 16 teams gone right now. 16 more will be gone by after today and tomorrow. By the way, 10 of the 16 that remain, or excuse me, 10 of the 16 that have won already, higher seeds. I guess not really surprised. Going to talk with Bill about that and how there really changes in college basketball. I'll talk a little bit later in the show about the changes in college football since 1970, the last 50 years. I mentioned, though, I started talking about those this Wednesday on the Midday 180. Got to kind of highlight a few of those with Tony a little bit later, how it changed football. Well, without question, the three-point shot has really made things a lot more even. You got some guys that can shoot three, and we watched it all these first two rounds. You watch what's happening in college basketball. You get some guys that can shoot, can play pretty good defense. You got a chance. Again, we'll talk with Bill about that later. Key college football rule changes the last 50 years. Again, we'll talk about those just a little bit later. Spring football practice begins. It begins at some. I think Alabama has had one day. Tennessee coming back after their first 5 days. So a lot to talk about. Let's start a little bit early. Talking a little, what he's been doing here lately. Tony Barnhart. Tony, how are you today?
Doug, I'm great. Thanks.
Did want to mention, Tony lives in Atlanta. I won't talk much about it today, but certainly for Vol fans, we lost one of the great players of Tennessee. Mike Cofer passed away. Mike lived down in the Atlanta area. He was from Knoxville, early 80s at the University of Tennessee. We actually had two Mike Cofers on the team. I'll talk with tomorrow about it a little bit more on Big Orange Sunday. But we had two Mike Cofers, one from the Atlanta area, who was an offensive tight end. Mike Cofer, who was from the Knoxville area, who was a defensive end. And kind of unique, they were both there when I got there. I think they'd been there about 1 year. Kind of unique, Tony. You know, when you said Mike, they both looked. And when you said Mike Cofer, they both looked. And he said Cofer, looked. So somebody came up with a bright idea of calling him Stop Cofer and Go Cofer. Go Cofer was the offensive player, and you could probably figure out who Stop Cofer was. But Mike had a great career in the NFL, was a really good player at Tennessee. Did not play on some of Tennessee's better teams. That was right in the when John Majors was getting the switch going right before Tennessee became an excellent football program again. But anyway, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. He had a ton. Mike Stopcofer had a ton of family and friends who just adored the guy, and he was one of the hardest working, best football players in my tenure at the University of Tennessee. Again, more on that tomorrow. Tony, I want to kind of start with something that we have discussed that we knew was going to be coming down the pike here at some point. The Tate Martell situation. Now, folks, if you haven't kept up with this, Tony's written extensively about it. We've talked about it a couple of times on the show here. This was the, for lack of a better term, test case on exactly how far the NCAA was going to go in granting waivers. We know what happened with the University of Mississippi group, the five players a year ago. We've seen what's happened in other areas. This new waiver rule that was put in a year ago was essentially put in to be used very rarely. Well, it's been used pretty liberally. And, Tony, let's talk about the Tate Martell case. Goes from Ohio State down to the University of Miami. Let's talk about how that's going to affect what we think we're going to see in movement in college athletes and the importance of the NCAA granting this in this Tate Markell case. Just real quickly, folks, essentially what it was is this. He wanted to leave. Everybody has a reason why they want to leave, without question. When Justin Fields was granted a waiver from Georgia to go to Ohio State, that kind of, I think, gave Mr. Martell a pretty good idea that maybe he wasn't going to be the quarterback. And he essentially wanted to leave simply because he wasn't going to play. Now, Urban Meyer, we know that situation there. But that kind of sets it up. Tell us what you have heard, what you've found out, and where you see this this ruling taking college football.
Well, Doug, you mentioned the Ole Miss situation, Shea Patterson and those other guys, and basically their claim why, you know, under normal circumstances, you're supposed to sit out a year. You can petition for that rule to be waived, and that's what the Ole Miss guys did, claiming the NCAA situation, and they claimed they were lied to, so they were granted a waiver. And so during the course of this is important, because during the course of that Ole Miss case, when the players claimed that Ole Miss lied to them, Ole Miss objected to that. And so the NCAA went back and changed the language. And this is the key piece of language that they changed on the waiver rule. You can get a waiver if the transfer is due to documented mitigating circumstances that are outside of the athlete's control and directly impact the health, safety, and well-being of the student athlete. Well-being, that's the key. You could drive a truck through the vagueness of that rule, and that's what's happening. Tate Martell applied for a waiver because of all the stuff that happened in with Urban Meyer. His lawyer said that there would be more. My belief was that if this waiver was granted, that would open the door to where nobody's going to, if you apply for a waiver, you're going to get it. And I think this was the test case. And I think now with the transfer portal, there is going to be no limit to guys who are going to request a waiver of the one-year residency rule. We can argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. That's what I see coming down the road.
Just in case there are a few that listen to the show that do not have not really followed this, and there's probably many of you that haven't, the old rule was, before the transfer portal, before you could request a waiver, was if you left a program. Now, it used to be that you had to get the approval of where you could go from the program you were leaving. That's gone. You had to go and set out a year before you could play if you were an undergrad transfer. That's gone. And essentially what we think we're going to be seeing is that we're probably very, very close, if not already there. Not there in rule, but we're there in actuality where a player can now essentially leave and go basically wherever he wants to. Now, here's one question on this, Tony. All of the rules that the NCAA passed, here's the way it works with the individual conferences, the SEC, the ACC. Let's just take those two. The ACC, the conference can make a rule more stringent, but they can't make it less stringent. So the conference could say that you can't transfer within our conference. That would be okay. You can't keep them from leaving, going anywhere else, but you could do that. At least that's the way it's been in the past. There hasn't been an official ruling on this part of it yet. So we could see a little of that, but Tony, I really doubt it. The public opinion is against this thing. I don't think there's going to be many, if any, conferences or actually any programs that are going to fight this thing anymore.
No, the PR end of this thing is so bad, because basically the idea that coaches could keep you from transferring to the school you want, and if the school you want happens to be within the conference itself, the only way you could do that is for everybody to agree among themselves that we're not going to take each other's transfers. That would not withstand a legal challenge. And so I think that's going away. I think in the future, Doug, you're going to have to let the kid go. And you're not going to have any say on where he goes. If he wants to stay within conference, he can. And my issue is there's no point in having the waiver process if they're not going to be, if everybody gets a waiver, Doug, there's no point in having a waiver process. That's my thought.
Well, that's probably where we are. Not not exactly sure right now. I've really looked at this hard over the past few years. I've changed the way I've looked at it because initially, and I still think there's going to be a this is probably going to happen, it's going to cause some problems at programs where that maybe aren't doing real well. And 8, 10, 12, what's to keep a whole class from leaving if they want to? The other part of it is I think that you're going to see it'll be legalized now, legalized tampering. If a player is playing at one a lesser program, a non-Power 5 school, they're able to do this also. So unintended consequences, we don't know, but that's where we are right now. And, Tony, as you said, the world's not coming to end. It's just going to be a different world. Coaches are going to have to adjust. They always have had to. Whether it be a targeting rule or something else, they will adjust to this. But it's certainly going to be different. Give me a final thought.
Kirby Smart, in one of my meetings with him, says he said, in the future, Tony, because of this stuff, you're going to have more guys coming early because they want to get out in 3 years. You're going to have more guys leaving early because and the seniors, if the seniors aren't playing, they're going to transfer and play right away. So he said, we will all have very young rosters, and whoever manages that the best is going to stay on top.
This is also could be a positive. There's always ways to make positive out of it. On the other side, there's some positive things coming out that could come out of this. One thing Tony mentioned, this has been kind of a well-kept secret. I've talked about it a lot on this, not this show, but Big Orange Sunday. College athletics has done such a much better job of putting players in position to graduate. I don't like using the term graduate players because universities don't graduate players and or students. And athletic departments don't graduate student-athletes. The student-athlete's the one that graduates themselves. If they want to graduate, they all have the ability to do that. There is not many many ways to go through college and have it as easy, and I say that with kind of parenthesis around it. It's not easy to play an athletic sport. It takes a lot of your time. But it's a great way to go to school with what all they receive right now. And one of those things is that when the players come in early or stay for summer, they're graduating early. It is not unusual now for well over half a class. By the time, if they redshirt at all, by the time they their senior season rolls around, many of them have already graduated at many of the programs. So there's some big pluses on that. And, again, they'll have to figure it out. Tough week for SEC basketball coaches. What we've got, I guess, officially two fired, and I'm not exactly sure what the Avery Johnson situation is down in Alabama, but Bryce Drew, not a surprise, 0-19 counting the conference tournament. That's kind of tough to justify, I guess, being able to stay around there. Billy Kennedy out of Texas A&M had a couple of really good years down there, but Avery Johnson, where are we right now? If that's been settled, I haven't read it yet. I know that they were negotiating a settlement with him.
They're just trying to come up with a number because if they fired him today, they'd owe him $8 million. Okay? If they fired him on April 15th, they'd owe him $6 million. So they're trying to come up with a number. And
it's probably going to be somewhere between 6 and 8. I'm betting. What do you
think? I did that. That was sort of my thought. Even with my limited math skills, I thought that might be the case. And yeah, the problem. And Avery Johnson is a successful coach when he came to Alabama, but they lose to Norfolk State, and I think Alabama was the number one seed in the NIT or close to that, and Norfolk State was like the number 32 seed in the NIT. They were 17-point underdogs at Alabama. Not a good look.
A lot more to talk about. We'll take a quick break just to pay a few bills, as they like to say in radio. More with Tony Barnhart. Again, Bill Justice will be with us at the top of the second hour. He'll be with us the whole hour. We'll be talking a lot of hoops. And Charles Davis, well, he's taking a little vacation today. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Hey, do you have dental insurance? If you're fortunate enough, as I was, to work at universities where I had dental insurance, when I owned my own business, I had dental insurance. Well, self-employed now. Can't do it anymore. 3 or 4 years ago, I started looking around for some dental insurance, and that's where Delta Dental of Tennessee comes in. If you are looking for an individual plan, maybe you know your children are out, your kids are all gone, maybe they're still there. But whatever your family need or situation is, if you do not have dental insurance, this is a good opportunity to take a look at what Delta Dental can do for you. They have a myriad of plans. There is a plan or two or three that will fit right into what you're looking at. And, well, it goes from a Cadillac plan down to something that is extremely affordable. Delta Dental of Tennessee, and this is the big plus. Most of the plans have at least two free cleanings and exams a year, and that gives the dentist an opportunity to find out what's going on not only in your mouth but with the rest of your body. You've heard me say this before. You probably read it many places. Over 120 signs and symptoms of diseases can be detected by a simple dental exam. Delta Dental of Tennessee, and the website to take a look at is coveryourmouth.com.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, it's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Are you putting your money to work for you? If not, ask about a certificate of deposit at Wilson Bank and Trust. With special offers and terrific rates all year long, a CD from Wilson Bank gives you the flexibility to meet your savings goals, whether you're in the market for a long-term investment or something with a quicker return. And if you use Wilson Bank and Trust for your everyday banking services, you can earn an even higher rate with a relationship CD. Call or stop by Wilson Bank and Trust and let's get your money to work as hard as you do. Member FDIC.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Bill Justice will join us at the top of the next hour. We're going to take a real good look at where we are in the NCAA tournament. I don't know if there are any upsets anymore. I guess there are maybe 1 in 16, and some of the 2 and 15s would be qualify as that. But fact of the matter is, a lot of the higher seeds playing pretty well and winning right now. I never could get if they're the higher seed or the lower seed. But anyway, the team that wasn't supposed to be quite as good going in. Tony, I want to talk about a guy that just fascinates me is Ed Orgeron. And, folks, if you followed this guy throughout his career, he's a character, I guess would be the way to put it. And I don't say that in a derogatory way at all, but he's a different type guy. And, but up and down and over and out, but he's up now again. But LSU just announced a $500,000 raise. He's up now to $4 million per year. Buyout went up to $10 million. I think most people or many people in the coaching profession suspected that he would be a year or two at LSU and then probably would be somewhere else. Quite frankly, he's done a really good job down there, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, they won 10 games last year. They beat Georgia at home. They did a couple of things. They look like that, you know, with bringing in Joe Burrow, they addressed the quarterback situation and they got better quarterback play. Instead of having bad quarterback play, they got, you know, pretty good quarterback play. So that was number one, and they addressed the offense. Now they're even taking a step further to bring in a guy from the Saints to really put the RPO game in there. And so they like what Ed Orgeron has done. And, of course, with Dave Aranda there, who they're paying $2.5 million to run the defense, that part of the ball looks pretty secure. So I think LSU kind of likes where they are.
Well, you take a look at that West, and it has been strong. The East is starting to get stronger, without doubt. But we know what Alabama is. We know where Auburn has been. They're not going anywhere. You know, probably not going to be quite as good in some areas, but better in others. A&M is on the rise. State got that program built back. We'll see. You know, they lost a lot of quality players, but hey, yep. If you're a good program, you're going to lose a lot of quality players every year. LSU, from a talent standpoint, is there. Ole Miss had their problems, but seems to be coming back from that also. Arkansas, clearly the program that is not doing very well right now. And I say that in regards to the rest of the Southeastern Conference West. But anyway, LSU's going to be there. Yeah, you talk to people, Tony, and you're one that I address this to. The thing I love about this league right now in football is the fact that it is getting stronger in the middle down to about 10, right. 11, 12, 13, you know, and there's always going to be a team or two at the top and a team or two at the bottom. But what has happened, at least from my viewpoint, is the gap between those teams at the top and the bottom isn't near what it was. And this league is a lot deeper from quality teams that can beat anybody on not just any given day, but on many given days.
Well, you've got a lot of teams now, Doug, who can win 9 or 10 games. Alabama won more than 10 games. Auburn finished with 8 wins. Georgia won 11 games. Kentucky won 10 games. LSU won 10 games.
Florida, didn't he?
Florida won 10 games. Texas A&M won 9 games. I'm just saying there are a lot of really good teams, and that just makes for week in and week out, there is no break. You know, again, I was at Kentucky yesterday. I spent a couple of days there, and, you know, they had a great season with 10 wins, and now the challenge is, they're not going to win 10 games again, I can tell you right now. The question is, though, can they win? Can they still be very, very competitive, win 7, win 8, and be in just about every game? And that's what makes this league so tough.
I heard Bruce Pearl talk about this in basketball, but it is so fitting for football too. There's a difference between having a good team and having a good program.
Oh yeah.
And a good program obviously is one that, you know, maybe you're not going to win 10, 11 games every year, but you're a very competent, always a good team and that's one of the things that I think this is happening in this league a lot. By the way, we're going to take some phone calls today for Tony. Don't do this very often, but we're going to do it today. 615-737-1045. If you have a question about college football, let's hold the basketball till Bill Justice gets on. We'll try to answer it for you and kind of talk where this team is, where your team is, where the league is, where the what the national picture is, what some of these rules changes how it's probably going to affect college football. Much of that is opinion, but there's some things we know quite a bit about it. So I wanted to start with a subject that David that wanted to bring up, and this is something I was going to talk with Tony about today. So let's kind of get the question in there, and then we'll try to build upon it. David, how are you today?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
Fine, thank you. I know you wanted to talk about this subject, and it's something I was going to bring up today. So
okay.
Hit the question, and let's go with it.
All right, well, just real quick, I wanted to thank both of you guys for doing this every Saturday. People like me just really enjoy listening to college football talk all year long, so thank you for doing this. But about a year ago, and asked a question, and you answered if you had been in
Let's do this. I'm going to put David on hold. Ryan, see if we can, obviously, cell phone difference. the question he was going to ask had to do with streaming. And Tony, I think David Dodd wrote the article. It could have been somebody else. I should have known and you know, put it with the person who talked about it. But where many people are going and where the athletic directors that really are on top of their game. Let's see if we got David back. Now, David, you back with us? David, you there? All right. We'll try again. Anyway, watching how are we going to watch sports? The money that comes in from TV and all those different areas of ways of people that can watch sports now. And I think Dodd had the article. One of them had the article. Anyway, bottom line is this. We are getting to an area where we're going to be watching streaming services. You're not going to be paying a Comcast or another carrier to put together your package. You know, it's much more going to be the streaming area of it. What are you hearing and what are you seeing on that?
This is a topic that we're talking a lot about now for down around 2024, 2025, when all the TV contracts are going to be renewed. The question is, who's going to want to, when these TV packages go up for bid next time around, who's going to want to play? It'll be the usual suspects, ESPN, CBS, on and on and on. But somebody said, well, what about Google? What about Netflix? What about all these other content providers that stream content? They'll have a lot of money. You know, Netflix used to be a company that all they did was rent out DVDs and they'd send them to your house and you'd send them back. Well, now they're in the original content business and they are doing exceedingly well. So the future of watching any sports, watching television, period, is going to be streaming as the internet service becomes better and better and better. And the question again is, next time these TV contracts come up for renewal, who will be the new players that we're not thinking about now who want to get into this?
Most of you out there know much more about this than I do. I'm not a big streaming guy, period. But if you sit back and look at it and think about it and examine it, you can see that we're going to get to the pace of, hey, you want to watch Yale play? Stream it. Here it is. Let me try Dave. Dave, is that, I don't know if you heard all that. Did you have something else to add to that?
Yeah, and I appreciate that perspective. My favorite thing to do on Saturdays now is just to stay at home and just watch as many college football games as possible. So I hear what you're saying about other players getting in a few years, but do you see just more and more games being available online that you can stream? Because I know, you know, with attendance being down against in sports across the country, and you know, they want to get people in the stadiums, but I like, and many people now just like to stay at home and watch 50 games in one day. So do you think that that's going to continue, that you'll just be able to get games of the Pac-12 to the smaller conferences all across the country that I can stay at home and watch? I guess that's my question. Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Doug, what we're seeing now is, for those folks who have iTunes, on your set, on your TV set, which is a streaming, basically can be a streaming service. There'll be menus of games out there, and you want to watch the Harvard-Yale game, just go to the menu and call it up and pay $5.99, and you'll get to see it. You know, if it's not a part of your package, what you've already got, you'll be able to buy games a la carte, just like you can buy movies a la carte now. So, yeah, that's the streaming component gives you a lot more flexibility, and you will definitely see a lot more of that in the future. A
couple of things that to kind of look at there, and from talking with the athletic director at the University of Tennessee, who is certainly this is an area they're looking at. There's no athletic department, there's no football program or football any. There's no university when they're talking about their football program that does not realize that the fan participation coming to the game has to be improved. Not that it was bad before, but they're all looking at ways to do that. I can tell you this. We're going to see some innovative ways for athletic departments to work with the fans, and I'm talking primarily football here. I'm talking exclusively football right now. How do we get fans to come to the game? There are some big pluses there that if you can accentuate, and it starts with the game day experience before the game, halftime, after the game, but also in game. And there's some interesting things that are going to be looked at. Let me just give you, for instance, this is one thing that's being looked at, I'm sure, by most universities. Let's say I'm a fan, and I'm sitting at, let's pick a game. I'm going to take the University of Tennessee. I'm sitting at the University of Tennessee game, and I look down, and Coach Pruitt has got on a new University of Tennessee hat. I don't know that he wears a hat. Let's say he's got on a new shirt, all right? Got the Nike logo on there. Man, I really like that shirt. Going to have the ability eventually to pull up on my phone, pull up the website that I know about, order that shirt, pay for it, and have it delivered to my seat before the game's over.
Right.
Just some things like that. You know, to be able, I don't know that we'll ever get to this part. Clearly, and I was going to talk a little bit about this tomorrow. The state of Tennessee, I don't know if they're all the way through in both houses of the legislature, alcohol sales on campus. It's been passed through one, maybe been passed through both. Mm-hmm. Now, I hadn't kept up with that. You know, to be able, all right, how can they expand on that? Well, Tony Barnhart can be sitting at wherever he's sitting. Of course, he sits in the press box. But let's say he's out with his family. I want to get a couple of hot dogs, a couple of beers, whatever, ordered, delivered right to my seat. Don't have to get up and go anywhere. So those are some of the things they're looking at, and other technology things. Tony, give me about about 30 seconds or so of that. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and got some more phone calls we will get to for Tony. Go ahead, Tony.
The concession thing has to happen. Everybody I talk to says it just like when you're doing Uber and you can they come pick you up based on where you are. They know exactly where you are. You'll be able to order from your seat, and it'll all be paid for, and somebody will walk up to you and hand you a bag, and that's it. That is something they know they have got to get to, because the idea of long line at concession stands, that has got to be a thing of the past. Technology can help you do it.
One other thing on that, too, that they're looking at. Lowering prices. They call it, this was explained to me, the Masters model. If you've ever been to the Masters, once you get into the Masters, you can buy a chicken salad sandwich for, what, $1.25, Tony, or $1.99?
Correct.
You know, keep the prices low. Find a way to get seat prices down. That's going to happen. You're going to see it easier to get tickets to games, especially, let's take the Neyland Stadium, the Upper Bowl. You're going to see that. That's going to be taken care of at some point. So anyway, a discussion we will continue, but that's one of the things. And David, thanks for the phone call on that. How to make, because these universities want people there. Mm-hmm. Does it affect the bottom line? Yeah, but the money they're making from TV, the TV contracts and what news going to happen, that's probably going to cover most of that. But anyway, we'll try to keep you updated on that. Travis, we'll take a break. We'll come back with you for Tony Barnhart when we come back. Farm Bureau Health, 70-plus years they've been in business right here in Tennessee, 1947. And, boy, have they grown into an outstanding health company for Tennesseans, fbhealthplans.com. I went with them about 3 or 4 years ago now. I was looking for, well, I was checking into the Medicare and the F plans, and I didn't know at that time what I do know now, that all F plans, indeed all Medicare supplement plans, all of them are exactly the same. They were set up by the federal government, same rules, only two differences. Number one, the service that you receive, which is extremely important, and number two, how much you pay for it. That's it. Farm Bureau Health is right here in Tennessee. They got over 180 offices, one in every single county. All of their claims are processed right down in Columbia, Tennessee. Outstanding health care company. I've been extremely happy with them. You can find out the different plans that they have at fbhealthplans.com.
Walker Chevrolet in Franklin has done what they always do. Unbelievable pricing and financing options on the all-new Silverado. The all-new Silverado LT, starting at just $39,752 or 0% interest for 72 months. Walker Chevrolet also has the new Blazer in stock. You owe it to yourself to test drive a new 2019 Blazer. Walker Chevrolet has been doing business for over 90 years. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and walkerchevrolet.com. 2019 Silverado stock number, KZ110941.
Mid-South Business Furniture's move to 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13 is complete. Come by and see them for some great excess inventory deals. Also, their quick full-line office supply and furniture products can be purchased online at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com. 43 years now of design, furniture, and office sales, that assures you of complete satisfaction. Stop by 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13, or go online at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or post-game snack. Enjoy a Hebrew National Chili Dog, barbecue bacon cheeseburger, crispy homemade onion rings, dog bowl nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Kind of closing out the what we were talking about in the last segment. Just with this, there's a lot of things that I think exciting things are going to happen at the university's game day. Still a lot of people, you know, most of the people aren't either willing to go or aren't in a position to go to ball games. So that's where the new streaming and all that stuff's going to fill itself out, new technology. But that in-game experience is going to be a lot different. It's already neat in a lot of venues. It's going to be even better. And that's one of the things that the smart athletic directors, and we got a lot of smart athletic directors out there, have their staffs looking at. All right, let's get to a few other topics with Tony. Travis in Nashville for Tony. Hey, Travis, how you doing?
Good morning, fellas. Hope you guys are doing well this morning. Hey, I've got a quick question regarding transfer. It seems now that college football is becoming more and more of a free agency. And players that you thought were going to have to wait a year or find a ways or find a loophole to be able to play quick, you know. Of course, Justin Fields left Georgia. Of course, maybe behind some racial stuff. But Tate Martell left Ohio State knowing he wasn't going to be able to play, it seems. And they just got to grant his eligibility down in Miami. What's your thoughts on maybe Aubrey Solomon this year? And if it's just going to become number one in wait year, just you're able to play, you know, you're eligible immediately as long as you're in good standing with the university, and that's really all I had to ask for, and I hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Travis. A couple of things on that, Tony. I want to kind of lead in to kind of put some of this in somewhat perspective. What's brought all of this about, there's two big pushes now by former players, and I think people just like to push things. One is paying athletes. Well, number one, they're getting paid. They're getting paid, they're getting paid more than just a scholarship. That's happening everywhere, certainly in the Power Five conferences and many of the others. And then the second is to be able, and the argument goes, hey, a coach under contract can leave anytime he wants to. That is true. Here's one thing to keep in mind, though. As we look at this right now, the transfers and the ones that are being granted are not exclusively, but the great majority our one position is quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. If you're the backup quarterback, or let's say you're a junior quarterback and you got a freshman or sophomore come in and they beat you out, there's really not much for you to do. You're not going to play much. Backup quarterbacks only play normally one of three ways. Starter gets hurt or gets dinged a little bit. We're way ahead or we're way behind. And when you're way ahead or you're way behind, mostly what you do is take the ball and hand it off because the coach wants to get the game over. So if you look at these transfers, who have they been? Almost exclusively, not 100%, they've been quarterbacks. There's a reason for that. Every other position, you're going to play two or three deep. How many running backs play two or three? How many, in some instances, four? Alabama plays three regularly. How many wide receivers play in a game? Five, six, or seven, depending on the offense that they run. So it's not, Tony, an exclusive quarterback situation, but it is a primary quarterback situation right, where they're going to be leaving. And quite frankly, folks, the ones that are juniors and seniors that are leaving that play other positions, they're leaving because they're not playing.
Right.
So a head football coach probably really doesn't mind him leaving anyway. It lets him play a younger player. Tony?
Yeah, and what is so fascinating about this moving forward is that, you know, since they opened up the transfer portal, Doug, since they created that thing, I saw a figure the other day, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically 70% of the transfer students who asked for a waiver have gotten it, 70%. And so, you know, I just see this as something that the NCAA does not want to touch. And I just expect a time to come where they're just saying, you know what, if you got any kind of reason at all to transfer, we're going to let you transfer.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And let me tell you another reason why. What we know, all of these now have lawyers involved in it.
Yeah,
so they're going to say, hey, my situation is exactly the same as Tony Barnhart's was, or Tate Martell's was, or Justin Fields was. How come he was granted his and I wasn't granted mine? And I think there's probably going to be some paperwork you got to go through. There's probably going to be some hoops you got to jump through. But I think most coaches, probably head coaches, have figured out that, hey, that's the direction we're going to go in. And you know what? That old saying, is this a hill you want to die on? I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. And again, I go back to what I said. You're not going to lose players that are really, really good and playing for you. The guys that are going to leave are the ones that are not playing, and it does give you a little pause. And quarterback, you look around now, just look around at the top programs. Who's the backup quarterback at Alabama now? Who's the backup quarterback at Georgia? Who's the backup quarterback at Clemson? They're probably an incoming or redshirt freshman.
That's right. And that's the thing that puts you at risk when you just don't have – take Georgia. I mean, Jake Fromm is the guy. And after that, they've got a true freshman that they signed in December. They got a guy who was Stetson Bennett, who was at Georgia and left because he was never going to play any quarterback. Well, they brought him back to have a backup quarterback who had at least played. So, you know, Georgia's going to have to be very, very careful with Jake Fromm this year because simply they don't have a backup quarterback.
Tony, you mentioned that I think that you went to what last week, Georgia and Kentucky pro day. Tell me a little bit. Has pro days changed on college campuses now? It used to be way back when we had the combine. That boy, it was a big deal.
Right.
Every pro team had one or two people there. Even for programs that didn't have many players, that's changed a little bit. Pro days are still big, primarily though, almost exclusively for quarterbacks and probably receivers, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's take Georgia for example. I mean, Georgia had eight guys invited to the combine, and they all worked during the combine. And the on campus combine, for people who don't know, is basically all the 32 teams send scouts to sort of follow up on what they did in the combine and or see somebody that didn't go to the combine who might have some skill. I mean, and you know, Bill Belichick was at the Georgia one because he'd been at Alabama the day before. But the combines on campus are not as big a deal now because most of the guys, let's take Josh Allen at Kentucky. Josh Allen had a good combine in Indianapolis. He was there yesterday was there to cheer on his teammates. He didn't do anything. He is set. He's good to go. He had a bunch of meetings with teams that wanted to talk to him one-on-one. But the flip side of that is Benny Snell, the running back. Benny Snell went through a bunch of big workouts because he's trying to prove to the scouts that he's more than just a straight-ahead power runner, that he can catch the ball. So that it's not as big a deal on campus as it used to be, unless you're trying to show the scouts something specific like Benny Snell did yesterday.
Josh Allen, pretty neat story where he came from, what he was. Nobody knew who he was coming out of high school. What was he, a two-star?
He was a two-star from Montclair, New Jersey, and nobody knew who he was.
They know who he is now.
Well, he had one college offer, and that was from Monmouth College, which I've seen them in the basketball tournament. I had no idea they had a football team. And one of the Kentucky coaches saw some film on this guy and thought he looked raw but had a lot of athletic ability. And they brought him in, and in 4 years, he's the Begnarek Award winner and is going to go one, two, three, or four in the draft and be a very, very wealthy man. But I was interviewing him yesterday for the SEC Network, and the last thing he said, I was holding the microphone in his face, and he looked down, and he went, "Nice watch." And I wanted to say, if I'd been quick enough on my feet, I said, "Yeah, Josh, but pretty soon here, you're going to have one that's a lot nicer."
That's pretty good. I've heard some people that know him pretty well. Seemed like a quality young man.
Great.
Too. And a top-notch pass rusher, which if you're a top-notch pass rusher, he's going to have a watch or two here pretty quickly. Take our last break of the hour. We got one more segment with Tony, and then we'll be talking a little NCAA basketball with Bill Justice, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Well, if you're looking for a place, you know, there's always, at least in my life, probably in yours too, there's times when you want to get away with some buddies or friends or family, looking for a place to have a party. But, you know, what are we going to do? Just sit around and talk with each other? You know, that kind of gets old pretty quick. How about bowling? But much more than just bowling at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Yes, they have bowling. A myriad of lanes. They got 5 locations, by the way, right here in Middle Tennessee alone. But they got other games involved in there. It's a huge place. Food, drink, entertainment for all ages. Again, bowling's one of those sports where if you go much, and I go a couple of 3 times a year, you see all ages. Little kids that aren't even big enough to pick up a bowling ball have to shove it down an apparatus that'll roll it down there for them. It seems like it takes about 5 minutes for it to get to the pins. And folks that are up in their 80s and 90s. It's a great place to go and have fun and sit around and talk in between when you're bowling and when you're not. StrikeAndSpare.com. That's the website. Great food. They're open all 7 days a week, including holidays. And as Larry Smitto likes to say, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Hey, this is Larry Thorne with Global Motorsports. Here in Nashville, folks know that we have been providing late model import automobiles for over 25 years. And the one thing everyone wants to know is where to have their car serviced. We now have a service facility that we're excited to be opening in downtown Franklin at the corner of Hillsborough Road and Highway 96, where we'll be able to provide maintenance all the way up to engine and transmission repair. And our auto spa can take care of detailing and any cosmetic repairs. Find us at Belmead, Cool Springs, and now Franklin, and at GlobalMotorsportsInc.com.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced, each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design, or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or a post-game snack. Enjoy Hebrew National Chili Dog, Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Homemade Onion Rings, Dog Bowl Nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9
9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Serious injury? Well, that's serious business, and no one takes it more seriously than Cody Allison and Associates. For nearly 2 decades, representing clients in truck accident, auto accident, and workers' compensation cases, returning clients' calls the same day or early the next day, keeping their clients informed, well, that's the Cody Allison way. Communication with clients about the status of their case? That's the Cody Allison way. Simply pick up the phone and call 615-234-6000. Also online at CodyAllison.com.
Now, Forkless Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Well, how's your bracket doing? Somebody asked me the other day how my bracket was doing. I don't know how I got through this. I have never done a basketball bracket ever. I'm probably the only person that I like to watch it, but I guess I just don't take the time to do it. Anyway, Bill Justice will tell us how his is doing. I don't know if I trust Bill telling the truth on that. You know them basketball guys, Bill, they always act like that they know who's going to win, you know. So, anyway, that's just one of the things we'll talk with Bill about. Tony, you do brackets, by the way? You did basketball?
I do. Yeah, I did. Unlike these other guys who do like 10 of them, I do one.
Yeah.
I do one and stick to it. And it killed me. I had Belmont beating Maryland and going into today's round. That killed me when Belmont lost.
Well, there's a bunch of guys probably in the same boat you were. I think that was a lot of people had them going. You know, you look at that, of course, Kevin Ingram of the Zone here does their play-by-play. They had a play-in game on Tuesday. They played, Thursday, right? And
right.
They got in Wednesday morning in Jacksonville at 5:30. Now, they certainly wouldn't use that as an excuse, but good gosh, even someone of my my prowess and the conditioning that I am would have a hard time doing that. But I could sit out there and shoot those threes though if they'd give me a little room. I don't know if I'd make any of them, but I could do that.
Well, all I know is if Belmont was playing LSU today, that would be a very interesting game.
Well, but they're not. Anyway, tell us what you got going on the rest of the – I know you're going to this coming week you're going to Alabama, right, and Ole Miss?
Right.
Thursday?
Going to Alabama on Wednesday to visit with Coach Saban and some folks there, and then headed down to Ole Miss to do their pro day. I try to get two of these in a week if I can, I do enjoy the spring, and maybe I'm crazy, but I do enjoy sitting down with the coaches in the spring and sort of looking back and looking ahead, and I learn a lot and develop relationships, and it's something I've done for a while and still enjoy it.
Best time to go to practice if you can get in these practices,
yeah,
because pretty obvious, your coaches are, if the word laid back is in any type of lexicon for a coach, but they're much more laid back. They're not getting ready for a game. By the way, I was going to mention, too, kind of interesting. I think folks would be interested in knowing this. Talk about pro scouts and pro days and all those things. You know, they got a pretty good idea of these players, obviously, and watching them play. They get to go to practice. But I think people would be interested to know, at a lot of head coaches, more and more and more and more, you know, they don't let pro scouts come to practice. They can come and just like the press, they can watch a couple of periods and then they got them out of there. And they're very careful with who they allow them to talk to. Now, I'm not talking about seniors, but after the season's over, they're tape wise. And the reason is because all of these guys went to school somewhere. And I can tell you that head coaches are very protective of who they allow to come out to practice. That includes pro scouts. There was even a time when some of the programs in the Southeastern Conference, I won't mention them by name, would not allow pro scouts in the press box. They had to buy a ticket and sit out in the in the stands.
Well, that's starting to change. It's funny. I had the same conversation, Doug, with an NFL general manager at one of these pro stops. He said the same thing. He said, I don't understand that. You know, he said coaches, there are coaches out there that are wary of NFL guys, and there are other who embrace it. The ones with the elite players, they know they need to embrace it. Now, everybody's got to behave and act professional and all that, but if I'm a college football coach and I want to recruit, get, part of my recruitment is, hey, we're going to get you ready for the NFL. I think you would want the NFL guys to show up on your campus.
Well, it's not that they don't want them to show up. It's that they don't want them out there. Let me just ask you this. If you were at Alabama, if you were at Florida, if you were at Georgia, and it was 2 weeks before you were getting to play Tennessee, would you let Peyton Manning come watch your practice, all of it? Now, think about that. He's not a pro scout, but my point being that, and believe me, I know some of these. I know some of these pro scouts or knew some of them. We didn't let many from Alabama or Auburn when I was at Tennessee. Coach Majors didn't let any of them out on the practice field, even if they were their best. Joe Namath couldn't get into to practice on that. But
oh my,
that's some of the fun things on that. Hey, I mentioned we just got a few more minutes here with Tony. You're going down to Alabama and Ole Miss. Kind of went through my mind. Rich Rodriguez, folks, is now the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. Mike McIntyre, defense coordinator, both of them new coaches. Have you ever wondered this? What would have happened if Rich Rodriguez would have taken and kept, I guess he actually took it for about an hour, the Alabama job? What if he'd have taken that and Nick Saban was not hired at Alabama? I wonder what would have happened. That's one of those great what ifs. And he did have the job, no question about that.
Oh, absolutely.
He was hired.
He absolutely had the job. And just think about and what would have happened to Rich Rodriguez, and what would have more interesting, what would have happened to Nick Saban? Would he have gutted it out in the NFL? Or would he have come back to college ball anyway?
And you can even take that a little bit further. What would have happened with the Miami Dolphins? Maybe they wouldn't be. Maybe they wouldn't be where they are right now. Don't ever know. I'll tell you one quick story. I can't get into exactly how I know this, but because when Rich Rod turned down that job, Mal Moore had already visited with Coach Saban. Coach Saban was the head coach with the Miami Dolphins. Had been told, and everybody famously remembers Coach Saban saying, I'm staying, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, Mal Moore got on the Alabama plane, flew down to Miami to have a visit with Coach Saban. As he got off the plane, really very interesting, he looked at the pilot and said, I won't tell you his name, but I do know who it is, said, hey, Tony, if I come back out here, and Coach Saban is not with me, fly this plane to Havana because I can't go back to Tuscaloosa. Isn't that a great story? That's a true story.
And knowing the late Mal Moore as I did, I absolutely believe that story. Absolutely.
In other words, I've got a big satchel here. How high do I have to stack this money to get you to come? And of course, the rest is history. So we don't ever know. You go back. I've done several shows on this. I'm going to be doing some in the future in the off season. University of Tennessee. Right. General Nealon, at the time Captain Nealon, back in 1925, he was at just coming out of World War II. Had just ended a little before that. He had to leave the U.S. Military Academy, West Point. Had two options: he could take an ROC program in Iowa or Tennessee, and he chose Tennessee. What would have happened if he would have gone to Iowa? Well, we don't know. Anyway, just some things to ponder, Tony. You got a final thought you want to give me here today?
I wanted to share a story about Rich Rodriguez and Nick Saban. January 1st, 2007, that story was breaking about Nick Saban coming. I was covering the Gator Bowl with CBS and talked to Rich Rodriguez. That was West Virginia and Georgia Tech. And one of the things I was asked on air as we were talking about Nick Saban, Tony, 8 years, $4 million a year, $32 million. Are you kidding me? It was Tim Brando. I said, Tim, trust me. If this goes the way I think it's going to go, they will look back and think they got a bargain. You know what? They got a bargain.
They got a bargain. A little bit more heck, a good coordinator is making close to that now. So anyway, all right, buddy, talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, Doug, thanks.
Before we go to break, let me talk to you about McPherson's Menswear. Their spring and sale and trunk show going on right now. And this is an annual deal at McPherson's. It is a great time to go buy, well, a lot of different things. You can save up to $300 on suits. They have a new custom suit line, by the way, that starts at $695. It's called J. Henley. It's new. Paul Barler has brought this in. It is a quality suit. Everything they have is quality, but it's not quite as expensive as some of the more known brands. All their knit and sport shirts and pants are on sale. You get a free pant with a sports coat. Buy one and on the sport on the knit and on their knit and sport shirts or pants. Buy one and get the second at half price. Custom shirts, great deal on those. Buy four, get one free. It goes all the way through March 30th. That trunk show. Stop in and see them again at McPherson's Menswear. 5920 Charlotte Pike, two blocks west of White Bridge Road. Check them out. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Charles Davis will not be on with us today. We're going to be talking a whole hour of basketball with Billy the Legend. If you'd like to join us, a question about the NCAA tournament, 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. Again, phones open again this hour. Talking basketball with Bill Justice. Bill, some pretty interesting games. I guess we always say that. I don't know that you can call many of them an upset anymore. What have you seen so far?
Every game has been a good game. You know, and all you want to do here is win in advance. I mean, that was the speech that Tennessee had after it was over when they played a very tough, close game, and we're able to win, and you move on to the next one. By the way, I will be honest, I am 20 out of 32 after the first 2 days. That's how I've done. That's a little bit under 65%. Not that good, but that's how tough it is.
That's about what Duke's shooting from the free throw line, isn't it?
Yeah, and the three-point line would be about a third of that.
Anyway, we'll be talking about Duke, I'm sure, just a little bit later. Bill, the great thing about this tournament is there's a lot of great things about this tournament. Really, almost any way you look at it, you got a chance for people who have to have a play-in game to get there. You know, that's always an opportunity. You have teams who you really don't know, just like Colgate. I didn't know where Colgate was. I guess I should. In New York, I think it's a town more than a city where it's located. But that's the great thing about this tournament. And the other thing is, boy, you get to watch how many talented ball handlers and shooters there are. I wanted you to ask Bill to kind of talk just a little bit about this. You know, I'm going to do more as we go through on this show in future weeks. But Midday 180, I started doing how some rules changes have really changed college football the last 40, 50 years. Without question, just from somebody that watches the game, Bill, has there been the shot clock, number one, and the three-point shot? There's been a lot of other things that have been changed. But, boy, that gives a lot of young men and young women on the other sport an opportunity to play. And we see great skill in those areas now.
Let me tell you two other changes that people don't think about very much, and they are very significant in terms of being a better game and being able to do things better. One is the wide seam synthetic leather basketball. If you look at the old basketballs used before the three-point shot and before the dunk was allowed, they're described as bricks, and they were. They were very hard to get your shooting fork on and to focus on the seams. Now the seams are wide seams, and they just reach for your shooting fork to place themselves there. So the basketball itself has made shooting easier. The other one, when they went to the collapsible rim, there are a lot more balls that can bounce around on that rim because it gives just a little bit, and the ball will end up going in. Before they did that, if you hit the rim, it was going to come flying out of there at you because there was no movement at all on it. It was just reject the basketball. So those are two changes that we don't talk about much, but I think have been paramount in helping the offensive end of basketball.
And the byproduct of that has been you now see where players, there was a technical foul, right? If you grabbed a hold of the rim, because we saw there for a period of time, I guess Shaquille O'Neal was one of the more famous where he pulled the whole goal down. Now that they're able to do that, we see many players now when they don't kind of hold on just for a second. That used to be a technical no longer. And because of the bounce in the rim, that brought me into a subject I wanted to talk to you about today. How has this changed from a coaching perspective? We see teams that shoot a lot of 3-point shots. Auburn being an example. You get long rebounds on that. Bill, how has the coaching techniques changed from defenders and boxing out and things like that with seemingly a lot more long rebounds when a 3-point shot's taken?
Yeah, and the other thing we're seeing, and we saw it yesterday certainly with some players where, you know, the 3-point line now is not even a challenge. I mean, you got to move well out past the 3-point line if you want to guard a great shooter because he's going to put it up 5 or 6 feet behind the 3-point line. They're shooting it from the pro line, not just the college line. So the rationale is this: 1 out of 3 from 3 points, and we've talked about this before, is as good as 2 out of 4. So 33% from the 3-point line will get you the same results as shooting 50%. So you've got two options that are your number one and number two options on offensive patterns and offensive game plan. And one is inside, throw it to the big guy, a dunk or an easy shot, most likely to be fouled. That would be the most likely place you're going to draw fouls. The other one is the 3-point shot. Move it around on the perimeter, go inside, back out to take the 3-point shot. Do not worry about trying to dribble it to the foul line and shoot a 15-foot jump shot. That's just not even on the game plan anymore.
Speaking of that, do you expect that there will be a move to move the 3-point line back? This has been talked about seemingly every other year. I don't know how and what great detail, but move it back to the pro line. Or do you think most folks and the guys that are making the decisions, the rules committees, they like what they're seeing right now?
I think they like what they're seeing. There's two things that the entertainment value in basketball brings to the fan base more than anything else. One, and we've talked about this, one of them is the slam dunk, of course. The other one is the long 3-point make. And the reason is those are things that you can't go out in your backyard and do. So people gravitate towards things they see and they're in, in awe of because they cannot themselves do it personally. And those are those two things that really excite the fan base.
Let's get a couple of topics here, a couple of teams that everybody is talking about. You've been on this guy for quite a while. Murray State, one of those, and the talent that the young man has there is everybody's talking about now. I've had a couple of buddies of mine who went to Murray State, and they've been talking about Ja for a long time. Boy, an exciting player, isn't he?
Yeah, and I tell you what, you have noticed this. Of course, there's one of those errors against the numbers, I call it. Murray State is a 12, and they beat Marquette a 5. 3 12s beat 5s yesterday, and Murray State was one of them. One of the things that I have noticed, a team like Murray State, creating the excitement that they have because of Ja Morant, their games are now on ESPN. I mean, that when you look as a fan or as an observer or somebody that's just trying to analyze things and you see a team like Murray State come out of their conference, win their conference championship, and all of a sudden, you know, they're not on a secondary, you know, they're not on ESPNU. They're on ESPN. That's because of the fan interest, and that's because of Ja Morant. I mean, he is an exciting, explosive player, and he is fun to watch. If you stay with it, you're going to see him get near a triple-double almost every game.
They had a 13 seed also win. What UC Irvine beat Kansas State.
Kansas State. That's right. They sure did.
So, Southeastern Conference 5-2. LSU, Florida, Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky all win. Mississippi State, who is a 5 seed. Liberty, another one of those programs that, you know, you don't think too much about. Excellent team. And, of course, Ole Miss beaten by Oklahoma. That was an 8-9 on that. Looking at the LSU, looking at Kentucky, looking at Tennessee, those are the three teams at the regular season. Of course, what Auburn did. And then you've been on Florida. Florida's really improved, in your mind, the last, what, 4 or 5, maybe 8 games of the season.
Yeah, they have, and they probably have got the toughest draw. They've got to play Michigan. I think that's a traditionally a loaded program. Florida's always going to be talented. I mean, you can go to your football talks in the SEC, and they're always going to be somebody you mentioned. Fertile recruiting grounds, great athletes all over that state, and they're able to draw in people from other places because of weather and environment down there. So in every sport, they're always going to be a threat. I don't think they beat Michigan. I think Michigan is just a much better team, so I would pick Michigan over that one. The other teams that are in for the Southeastern Conference, I think all have a good chance. Auburn, Kansas, you would think, well, maybe not, but if they're hitting the three-pointers and Kansas has got some injuries, I give them a good chance to win.
Bill, I want to talk about the Vanderbilt situation. Bryce Drew, 3 seasons there, let go. I don't know. That's got to be a difficult situation. You got a new athletic director coming in. I'm sure he doesn't know the lay of the land. There's no way he could. He hadn't been around these parts. But Bryce Drew came in with a lot of fanfare. Of course, a great recruiting year last year. Did not win a conference game this year. I don't know that Vandy had many choices on this. But give me a thought or two about the change being made there.
Well, I think probably there was a lot of pressure from the fan base. There was a lot of pressure from people who are important to the Vanderbilt academic side of things. It felt like that it was, I mean, when you look at the records that they set in a negative way, you know, the no wins in the conference and the -500 at home, things that were historically out of pocket. And I just think probably early in the year when Garland was hurt, I think there was too much emphasis on what they had lost and not enough emphasis on let's get together and let's get over this, let's revamp ourselves and play basketball. Darius Garland is not going to be back. If they didn't have a player step in and do that, I would think that it would be the coach's job, but also as a player, I know if I'd have been on that team, I would have pulled them together. I would explain, we've lost a friend, we've lost a player, we're going to have to change our style. We start over today. There's no excuses. He's gone, and we're going to play without him. We're going to do a much better job than what we have to make up for that loss. I'm not sure they didn't grieve over the loss way too long.
Well, you and I were at the game here in Nashville. Tennessee played. I mean, literally, that was a game Vanderbilt, you can always say maybe could have, should have, but they were in great, probably should have won that ball game, quite frankly.
I remember turning you and saying, I don't think we can come back from this. And they did, and it was a game that Vanderbilt just let slip away. And there was that's leadership. Somebody on that Vanderbilt team should have had, you know, during the timeout, said, this is an in-state rival. We own this gym. We're not going to lose to these guys, and let's make a play.
Bill, you have talked a lot about this in the past on this show and also on the Big Orange Sunday. Back 30, 40, 50 years ago, there were 3 or 4 teams that really played basketball in this league, really. We know what the situation was back then. Vandy, Kentucky, Tennessee, those 3 for sure. Mississippi State at time. Rest of them kind of hit and miss, not a whole lot of emphasis. That certainly has changed. And as I was preparing for the show today, it is a different situation now to hire a coach at Vanderbilt because of the strength of this league. Now, literally every team in this league is a basketball school.
I'm going to be real interested to see what direction they go. I mean, that's going to be every Vanderbilt fan obviously is watching that, but so is every Tennessee fan, because there are so many of us here that are in the culture in the city where Vanderbilt's located, and I think the rest of the people in the Southeastern Conference will as well. I think it's probably, if you look at the history of things at Vanderbilt Sports, the Vanderbilt basketball program and its success is something that can say, you know, we're up there. We're not in the bottom part of this conference as a basketball school. We have got a great history, not just in terms of wins and losses and coaches being successful, but having great players. I mean, you go back, you know, you can go back further than that, but you start with Clyde Lee and come through the guys that they had with Perry Wallace and Tommy Gunhagen and all the way up until now. This is a program that has been very, very successful over the years. Their fan base and everybody in that university would like to get it back in that situation.
Get a quick call in here from Auburn boy. What do you got going on today? Is your team, guys, is Auburn still in the tournament?
They are still in it.
I don't know. I was getting ready to ask you, is the NCAA tournament started? I'm still down here at Bridgestone celebrating.
Hey, I understand. You should be. You should be.
You may get to celebrate a little bit longer now. Hey, you got a Kansas team that's kind of compromised right now. So the way Auburn's playing, if they can make the three shot and play Coach Bruce Pearl's basketball, I give them a good shot of winning it.
Well, you know, real interesting story about Okiki and that Lawson guy playing, you know, grade school together or whatever, high school. I think it was grade school. But that's going to be a great match to watch. But really the game I want to see today, and this is going to shock you, Coach, is Florida State and Murray State. I really want to watch that. And then my questions are, real quick, if you can answer them, what in the world happened to Ole Miss? Ole Miss beat Auburn twice. What happened to Mississippi State? Mississippi State's so much better than Liberty. And then my big question is, Auburn, is it good for them to play this late, or would it be better for them to play early? I hesitate on this real late game. War Eagle, hope I talk to you soon.
Billy?
Well, address the first part. You know, a lot of times the later game is better for a team once you get into these tournaments, if you're having to play, you know, over a space of games of over 2 or 3 days, and you would like to have the extra time to rest and not have to have that early tip-off time. These are college-age kids. It's not like they're bunking down at 8 o'clock anyway. Plus, during the regular season, they do this. So the late tip-off, I don't think, has a whole big bearing in it. What you have to do as a player, and these guys will be following the other games that are going on during the day, you got to keep from getting bored during the daytime. That's the only thing that can hold you back.
And I think what the point you made there, I know from a football perspective, and basketball's the same, because of the TV schedule now, you could play, and you do play, at almost every hour. You know, there's tips at 11 o'clock Central, and there's tips at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. You play on the road. You play neutral site games. So the players get used to that, and they get used to it. We're going to take a break. Anthony, when we come back, we will take your phone call next. If you want to join Bill Justice, 615-737-1045. Stover's Liquidation. This is a liquidation company. Exactly what's in their name. Big box office returns, great prices on top quality products. Stover's Liquidation. Online at stoversliquidation.com. Right here in Middle Tennessee, it's out in Antioch. They got great deals there. They got great stock deals going on for lots of different things. Everything from janitorial supplies up to HVAC equipment and everything in between. Don't forget about their treasure hunt. Stover's Liquidation Treasure Hunt. Every Thursday after business day, they go in and they have the bins there where they refill them with things that they got great prices on that open Friday, $5 and everything in that bin. And it decreases every day in price up until the next Thursday, where it's down to 25%, 25 cents, excuse me, anything that's left. Check them out online. Stop by and see them again at Stover's Liquidation, at stoversliquidation.com.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
We both know a little bit about the X's and O's of football.
But when it came to understanding the gaps not covered by Medicare, we turned to our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans.
They can coach you through the ABCs of Medicare.
Did you know Medicare doesn't cover everything?
You still have to pay co-insurance and deductibles, and Medicare doesn't cover prescription drugs, dental, or vision.
And that's why you've always got the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans.
To find out more and how to enroll, just go to Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhealthplans.com.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com, M-A-N-D-U-U.com.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced, each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design, or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Now, Fort Lift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville. Online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
We're talking basketball, NCAA style, with Bill Justice. If you'd like to join us, 615-737-1045. Full slate of games today, and of course tomorrow. We'll get the first weekend over, get to that, I don't know if it's called the round of 32, but there'll be 32 teams left after this. Let's get to Anthony. Let's talk a little Alabama basketball. Anthony, how are you?
I am well. How are you guys?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, first, I don't think it's any coincidence that we finally decided to make a move after Auburn won the SEC. That's we got to keep up. Now that we have an AD who seems to know or seems to be able to handle spring sports a little better than anybody we've had in the past, he's done a wonderful job with the baseball program that's coming up, and I trust he's going to do a good job with this basketball hire. Besides prom, who everybody's talking about, who do you see? I don't see them doing the mid-major thing. I think they're going to spend some money this time around.
Bill, let me kind of lead into that with this. With the hires that have been made in this league the last 4 or 5 years, and there are some top-quality basketball coaches, not only guys that had really good resumes coming in, but since then, this is a tough basketball league now. Avery Johnson certainly had been coached at the pro level, excellent player. Whatever happened there, happened there. Not a surprise, I don't think, that as a caller just mentioned, that with the way everything ended up, that there was a change made there. By the way, if you didn't hear Tony talking about this before, he is still technically the coach. They're just negotiating the buyout. It was $2 million left. If it was, I think it was $6 million a month or so from now, $8 million, $8 million right now. They're negotiating, probably going to be somewhere in between. But having said that, you've talked in the past about the potential at Alabama. They have been there before. That potential is still there for the same reason you talked about Florida. There's talent in that state. There's talent they can get. What are you seeing there?
The Alabama basketball scene has got some very nice history in the past, and they'll go back and rely on that. One of the things that coming from your part of it, Doug, and you know this, because of their football program and their football success, they've got great resources. So this is not a question of dollars available, and a lot of times they look at this thing when you have to buy out the coaches. The coaches have great agents, they have great contracts, and they're very well protected. If they've got a long-term contract, they're going to make a lot of money when they lose their jobs. It will be an area where they will be able to go after top-tier coaches. One of the things that's going to happen in the SEC now is that if I'm a really outstanding coach at another conference and Alabama or anybody else comes after me, I'm looking at that league and saying, wow, you know, I'm going to be doing this because I want to get into a league that is stressing basketball, has great coaches, great teams, and a lot of attention. Or I'm going to say, I'm going to stay out of that. It's getting to be too tough. I don't know that I can win against everybody else in that Southeastern Conference right now. So there's two ways to look at it.
And those are the guys really you don't want. But
right.
you have two things. Not you know, we talked about Vanderbilt. A&M's looking for a coach also. But here's the difference that I see. The caller just kind of mentioned this. You know, there's lots of ways you can go on an athletic director. And we've seen a lot of different types, you know, business type people, coaches, all those different things. In this league, in the Southeastern Conference, football is always going to have a strong presence, no matter who the AD is. But I think the what was just brought up was the fact that the other sports, there's plenty of money now to go out and hire quality people and put money in sports. Bill, you've talked about this before. You go, you know, it used to be 10 years ago, you go to maybe 3, 4, or 5, maybe more that of these basketball stadiums in the gyms in the conference, and they really weren't much. That's not true anymore. Everybody has excellent facilities. Everybody has excellent travel of sports, of all the sports. And you're seeing all, you know, you go, we don't talk about them a whole lot on this show, but you go look at Alabama, you look at their gymnastic program, you look at their baseball program, softball program, and other schools too. There's so much money out there that filters down to these other sports. It's one of the reasons why I really try to keep keep the focus on this. You know, it's not just the football program or the basketball program. That's where most of the money comes from. But it's all these other sports that have really been able to be built up, the athletes at those programs that have benefited too from the money in college athletics. So, you know, when you start talking about paying this star quarterback or this or that, that sounds good. But it if you look at the total effect of the money that is in college sports that filters down to the 17, 18, 19, 20 sports that these other teams have, other programs have, you know, that's still where I think the focus needs to be on that.
But, and the facilities are one thing, and you're talking not just the football field or the baseball diamond or the basketball place. You're talking about the training rooms, the fitness things. The schools that have residences for players, and after freshman year you can move off campus, they don't do that anymore. They stay right there because the housing is so wonderful in the athletic end of things. And of course, they share that with members of the student body. But where they used to move out maybe for a year or two, now they stay there because it's been built up to the point that you can't find a better place, a more comfortable place to live. So a lot of money's being spent. But if you go on to any college campus, and I know in the Southeastern Conference it's true, if you go into that town, you're going to see cranes all over the campus because there everything is being upgraded. The regular dormitories for students are being bettered every day. So the college atmosphere gets better and better. The recruiting for just the students, not just athletes, comes with better facilities. You know, we talked about A&M and having a new coach. Nobody's got more resources than they do. I think they're probably have the most enrollment of any school in the country, 55 or 60,000 students. Certainly the state of Texas is loaded with athletes, football, basketball, however you want to call it. That certainly is a program to keep an eye on.
Well, oil's also went up about $20 a barrel the last 2-3 months. So.
Well, we know where those buildings come from. It's spelled OIL. We know that.
Anyway, but you know, one thing just on that dorm thing you just mentioned, this is has been something that I've tried to keep up with. We used to have athletic dorms. They were eliminated, done away with effectively about 35, 40, maybe 45 years ago. Because in the new ruling was that you had to have 51% of a dorm had to be regular students, an athletic dorm. Well, that did away with most of them. So what did the college, the athletic departments do? They built bigger dorms. At Oklahoma was the first that I know about this. Over 600 rooms, and Tennessee has a new one now. Over 600 rooms are availability for athlete for students. So that means that now they can keep 300 right at 300 in there or so. So, and you're right, Bill. More athletes are staying on campus because it's easier, you know, and you don't get the benefits that you don't get if you move off campus. You don't get some of the benefits that being there provides. So that's a big part of it. Big part of it also.
Well, you can address this, but don't you think that the coaches, the athletic directors of all sports, are much more comfortable having the athletes housed right on campus where they know where they are, and they're not over across Cumberland Avenue somewhere where, you know, they're not as accountable as they might be?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's why in my mind, and I think a lot of people's mind at the time it happened, I was coaching at the time it happened, and quite honestly, it was a big push by the Big Ten Conference to eliminate them because they did not have them. They thought that was giving the Southeastern Conference an advantage in football, not to mention other sports. There's always been, I've talked about this at other times on the show, there's always been, at least going back to when I was playing and coaching, there's always been a huge rivalry between the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference of football. Always has been. Always been an argument about which one was best. Doesn't make any difference which one was best. And you were always looking for an edge. When they did away with athletic dorms, that's when the problem started, because now those student athletes, those athletes were off campus. Yep. Now you don't know, you know, cell phones make it a little bit easier. How do you get in touch with them? That's where problems arise when you're you know, in a don't, you can have a curfew. You can go check them. You know exactly where they are. We're getting back more to that. I don't think there's a big deal on the curfews anymore, but more and more and more of the athletes of every sport are staying on campus nowadays. And it's, listen, many of these places have, they have, not only do they have their own facility the food facility, the place to eat, they got two or three or four options in there now to be able to choose from. So those are just some pluses that are happening now in college athletics. It's a, you know, I don't talk enough about this, but what gets the hair standing up on the back of my neck is to hear people on TV and on radio in the athletic world, or have been in the athletic world, that continually push this mantra of they're getting taken advantage of, they're not getting paid, they're not getting this, they're not getting that. That is 100% untrue. Every athlete now is getting, in the Southeastern Conference for sure, is being able to put anywhere between $10,000 and $12,000 a year in their pocket after everything is taken care of. Every athlete, not only the star quarterback, but the person rowing the crew or the whatever, the 400th athlete, if you wanted to put them in order, is getting that. That's not true anymore. And I hear so many people that are, quite frankly, and I don't use this term in a negative way, but they're ignorant of what the rules are.
They don't know what you just said.
No, they got talking points they like to talk about how they're being taken advantage of. And I guess in one way, maybe some of them are. But what people lose sight of is that football's one thing. You got another 18, and basketball's one thing. You got another 18, 19, and some instances 20-plus sports that live off of and are able to go and give scholarships, are able to go and travel to places around the country and play games and enjoy that part of it that their sport doesn't make a single penny.
Right.
But anyway.
They spend money.
Yeah, but and that's, it's great that they're able to do that and to get an education. You know, I'm probably going to get off my soapbox here, but I, you know, if you don't get a degree in college and you're on scholarship, you have absolutely nobody to blame but yourself. I forget which coach it was, but had the best saying, how many your athletes graduate? All of them that want to. They got every opportunity, from the best tutors to everything paid for, to the opportunities. If they want to graduate and get that degree, they can do it. And the smart ones do. And the ones that aren't so smart don't. They got nobody to blame but themselves. Quick break. We're back with Bill Justice when we come back. Wilson Bank and Trust. Middle Tennessee's community bank. Now in 9 Middle Tennessee counties, they added Williamson County, where I bank, about 2 or 3 months ago. 28 offices now in those 9 Middle Tennessee counties. Everything that's, of course, Davidson County and all the contiguous counties here. And they are a community bank. That's what they were formed for a little over 30 years ago now. If you're looking for someone, a bank who, when you come in, they don't say, how can we help you? What do you need? They say, how can we help you regardless of what you need? Can we help you in any way? They're very committed to youth athletic sponsorships. One of the reasons that I ask them to be a part of this show in all of their locations. So stop in, check them out. Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for 4 generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Powerstroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the 3 area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Hey, are you looking for a late model luxury import automobile? How about going to a dealership that tells you right up front that their dealership is for folks who don't like dealerships? That's Global Motorsports. A very small boutique environment there. They got a small staff, and they are well-versed in late model luxury import automobiles. Excellent automobiles. Come in there. You can drive one of them. You can drive 10 of them. You can drive every car on the lot by yourself. When you get ready and decide that you need to go a little bit further and talk about maybe purchasing one of them, the person that you met when you come in is going to be there with you. You don't have any back and forth with managers waiting for a better offer, trying to do this, trying to do that. You don't have to wait around for a finance manager. In about 20 minutes, once you decide what automobile you want, you're going to be walking out with the keys to it. It's a great experience. They have long-lasting relationships at Global Motorsports. Why? Because they take care of people the right way, and late-model luxury import automobiles for many people are the way to go. Online at globalmotorsportsinc.com, 3 locations, the newest, of course, down in Franklin. They also have their service department down there, out in Bellmead and out in Cool Springs. That's Global Motorsports at globalmotorsportsinc.com.
Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Charles Davis, of course, not with us today. We'll be back next week. Why? Because we're talking a lot of basketball. Bill Justice on the whole hour. Bill will be on tomorrow with me, and we'll be talking about Tennessee basketball tomorrow. What, 7-point win against Dave? A team that seemingly, they certainly know how to shoot threes yesterday. Bill, let's talk a little bit. One of the interesting things to me as you watch all these different teams, everybody has pluses. That's the way you get to the tournament. You may not be the best team in the tournament or one of the best teams, but you're good enough to be able to get to the tournament. And obviously, 30 games in, you know your system and how you want to play. But let's talk just a little bit about the pluses and the minuses. Duke is the team du jour, as they normally are. They got some minuses, though, that with all that great talent, they run into a hot shooting team. They could have some problems. Let's talk about why and what are the minuses for Duke.
Duke can't shoot. I mean, I'm just going to call them out. They're three-point shooting, and I watched him play that first game. I saw 10 straight not go in. Now, they're not usually that bad, but they're well under the 33% that you want. They're hanging around 30. The good thing they have there is defensively, they are so good, they hold their opponents to like 29. They still have a 28-point margin, winning score margin over opponents. Very, very talented. They're young. They've got the most exciting player college basketball has seen in several years in Zion Williamson. Duke is certainly somebody to be concerned about. They're a number one seed, and they should be. I just think for them long term, the one thing that can get them might be the fact that they just don't shoot the long ball well. If they can do that, there's nobody talented enough in that group to beat them. They play Central Florida next, a number nine seed. They should win that one. That game is tomorrow. So I still like Duke. I still have, but I do have some questions on their perimeter shooting.
Bill, the other side of that is we see several teams, maybe more than several, who are really good three-point shooting teams. You hit a team like that. That happened a little bit to Tennessee yesterday. Boy, that one, I forget his name right now, but he got hot. And when they start banking in three-pointers, then you know you got some problems. That would, I guess, be the area that Duke has would really may be a little deficient in. But on the other side of it, they play in such a great league, and they played so many really good teams this year that they've proven that they can play against those teams. But just quick question though, seemingly the really good 3-point shooting teams seemingly have a lot of open shots. How do you? What's the big way in defending those? And I think it kind of, you've mentioned this before, being able to, if you play a helping defense, which most of these coaches do, it's kind of difficult to get away from that when you got three or four guys out there that are standing that 3-point line shooting.
They do a great job of spreading the defense out all around the perimeter. You know, they have, everything is open. You've got deep corners, you've got guys foul line extended, and you've got guys out front with the ball that can shoot it. So it just stretches the defense. And I wonder the same thing. Sometimes I see a really good outside shooter, and just take a team that shoots a lot of them like Auburn, and I'm going, why aren't you closer on that guy? How does he get open? Well, if you watch the ball exchange and the way they move the ball in around the perimeter, they get into the big guy, you've got to sink back on him a little bit. He throws it out, and the guy is, you know, you're 10 feet away from the guy, and he gets the shot. So the three-point shot is critical. It's important. If you look at the top three or four or five teams in here, Michigan State shoots 41%. Michigan shoots 38%. Virginia shoots 39%. So those are very high percentages, and Duke is barely at 30. But the top teams can absolutely shoot the three-point ball.
Well, and one thing that makes it even more difficult, you take Auburn's a good example. They are so athletic that if you do get out there on them, they drive by you, and they're, all those guys are capable of going in and shooting layups too. So anyway, if Auburn's hot, they are a fun team to watch. Let's get a three-point question here by David. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Y'all just stole my thunder.
Well, good. We're Thunder Steelers.
That's right. You got to adjust your offense to what the defense is doing here. Let's go make a quick change.
All right. How do you defense a three? With all the hard ball screens and everything, it's just practically impossible to defense the three-point shot. You can defense a big man down low and cover him up, but when they set these screens and everything, there's always going to be one person open outside that can shoot.
I tell you one of the other things there too, Doug, is that if you watch closely down low, they may call an arm bar, but usually they'll let you do one hand on. You put two on, they're going to call the foul. when you have the ball out front, a ball handler, a three-point shooter, anybody on the perimeter, it's almost hands off. So it is a more closely called, less physical defense on the perimeter than it is inside. Sometimes inside they get some pretty physical things going and they get by with it. But you simply, and I remember this. I've heard players say this, and I know that players have always felt this way. I don't care what a guy does to me, other than, you know, fouling me real bad. But referee, do not let them foul me when I'm shooting. Give me a clear shot and call that foul if he hacks me or pushes me or moves me or does anything off balance. I'm not worried about a hand on me when I dribble, but protect the shooter.
We'll take our last break, come back, and close out with Bill. Bill, when we come back, I want to talk about, I hear this, I watched it in the games that I was at the SEC tournament. I listened to it yesterday when I was listening to on the radio and TV. How did we get ourselves in a position where seemingly about 10 minutes of a game is taken up by officials going on? There was a game yesterday, I forget which one, I was listening on the radio, where they stopped in the final minute, stopped twice to put one, they took 3 or 4 minutes to put 1 second, 1/10 of a second, excuse me, back on the clock. We'll talk with Bill about that when we come back. Mandu, you've heard me talk about Mandu, M-A-N-D-U-U, groundbreaking fitness solution that uses electrical muscle stimulation to deliver, well, I can just tell you from my standpoint, it delivers an incredible effective exercise regime in 15 minutes. And that includes a 2-minute break in between, so I guess technically 13 minutes. Here's what I can tell you. It has worked great for me the last 8 months. Muscle gain, fat loss, visceral fat loss around major organs, so key, certainly when you get a little bit older, but at any time. I encourage you, if you are looking for a great workout regime, it doesn't have much to do, it doesn't have really anything to do with the taking place of the aerobic part of it, but to get a good workout in about 15 minutes to take the place of 6 to 8 hours of pumping weight, you know, as we get older. You know, I don't want to be throwing up the weight that I used to. The joints won't take it. This takes it out of that area, and it'll help you. If I could tell you how much it's helped me, I think you can tell what I'm talking about. Check them out. They got a great deal going on right now. You can save $300 on a 15 pack just by telling them you heard it on this show. Your first appointment is free. You can check it out at Mandu, M-A-N-D-U-U.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Stover's liquidation with the best hardwood deal ever. Shaw Golden Opportunity Oak Hardwood, first quality, 20-year warranty, 7 great colors, 3/4 by 2 1/4, just $249 a square foot, and 3/4 by 3 1/4 wide, just $259 a square foot. The same product sells for over $4 at the big box. Nobody stocks more plank-look porcelain tile than Stover's liquidation in Antioch, Cookeville, or Knoxville, or online at stoversliquidation.com. Check out our Facebook and Instagram only specials, Stover's.
Walker Chevrolet in Franklin has done what they always do. Unbelievable pricing and financing options on the all-new Silverado. The all-new Silverado LT, starting at just $39,752 or 0% interest for 72 months. Walker Chevrolet also has the new Blazer in stock. You owe it to yourself to test drive a new 2019 Blazer. Walker Chevrolet has been doing business for over 90 years. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and walkerchevrolet.com. 2019 Silverado stock number, KZ110941.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Bill, let's talk a little bit about, I'm sure there was a reason why the NCAA or the officials have put in the review of the clock, but my goodness, don't they realize this, how many, you know, I'm one of them, you almost want to turn the channel. The SEC tournament, the Kentucky-Tennessee game, there was 8 to 10 minutes of dead time right in the middle of runs and teams playing well. You got the crowd into it, and now you got to sit on your hands for 3 to 5 minutes. It's ridiculous. What are we going to do about that?
I can tell you two things. First off, what you have just said has been discussed. It is on the docket by the people in the NCAA, the Rules Committee, and others, and they're looking at two areas. One is that stoppage to go back, and they're going to say, okay, maybe we take that away from the review. Have that reviewed already. The officials go over, and you give the guy the answer right then. It's already been done. I think that's where it will end up, and that's something that they're looking at. The other thing that slows the game is the last 3 minutes, and in addition to that, can turn into 30 minutes because of the timeouts and the things that they do. So they're looking maybe at getting one less timeout because teams don't use them except to the end of the game. And again, that stretches it out as well. To make the last 3 minutes of a basketball game go 30 minutes on the real clock is not something that's favorable to the fans. It's not even favorable to the players. There's too much standing around.
Well, and that's something that you can do. The thing I don't understand is why does an official have to go over and look at the, you know, they got all three officials over there, they discuss it. Why not have a guy like they do in football, a little bit different, but why don't have a guy that's there, he looks at it, gives the thumbs up, go, or puts the time back on the clock and says, no use for you to come over. I don't need, you know, it doesn't have to be the lead official that's looking and seeing that there needs to be time put back on the clock.
No, I think that's exactly where it's headed, where there's going to be somebody that looks at the play, sees what the time clock should be, and makes that decision, and the referees don't go over there and stand around to put 2 seconds back on.
Let's get one final call in here. Gator Mike joined us from up in the Hendersonville area. Mike, how are you? Hadn't talked to you a while.
Coach, I'm doing great. Yeah, I haven't talked to you. Usually talk to you during football season, but Bill, I tell Doug all the time, this is my favorite segment. You're so informed, so knowledgeable, and I just want to pick your brain about the Florida-Michigan matchup today. Florida seems to be playing well, starting to get a little bit more inside game with Kavarius Hayes, but obviously that's where we lack our depth is in the front court. But the back court, you know, we do well, and of course, you know, we live or die by that three with those streaky shooters we got. But I'll hang up and listen. I just want to get your opinion. Always and talk.
I appreciate that praise. That's very nice of you. Yeah, Florida is one of those teams that's you know, kind of iffy, kind of on the edge. You know, they're right around 500 in the league, or they are 500 in the league. If you look at them statistically, they don't have anything that jumps out at you. You know, their size is just average. They have 8 players that play double-digit minutes, so they don't go real deep. Their margin of point spread is only 4 over the opponent. I think they probably have a tough matchup today. That's a game that they certainly would not be favored to win. In fact, I don't think they were favored to get there as a 10 seed. Fortunately, Nevada, a very talented team that they beat, you know, springs them in. But now against Michigan, I think Michigan is probably too talented.
Let's hit a couple of the other games that we have time for here, Bill. Kentucky-Wofford. Wofford really playing well. A big point win, too, over a pretty darn good Seton Hall team. Kentucky, though, you know, take the final game of the SEC tournament out of it. They played extremely well. Kentucky, you've been on them the last month or so pretty heavy.
I like Kentucky. They will be playing today without P.J. Washington. He is still in a boot. They say that he's progressing just fine, but they've chosen to let him sit again for this game. I think that shows you that he's not ready to play, but also that Kentucky still has confidence that they can win this game. I hope they do. I like Kentucky. I've made that clear all through the time that I've talked about basketball. I think they're one of the real great programs in the country. So And they're SEC, and I pull for everybody in the SEC. So I still give Kentucky the edge there today.
Auburn, Kansas, out in Salt Lake City. A great basketball area, by the way. A 5 and a 4. Give us a thought. What would be the one thing that that you would say that would surprise people about this Auburn team?
I don't know. Probably the fact that they have got more talented players than people know. Bruce has recruited very well down there, and he took an early enrollee this year to boost the lineup a little bit. I actually like Auburn in this game. If they can shoot the three, I think they win this game. KU is without some feature players. They're not, their lineup is not full. They've lost a couple of guys. So I kind of like Auburn in this game. I think after that, they're probably going to play UNC. I got UNC going all the way to the end. So Auburn has a good chance today. I think if they play Carolina, it'll be a little different.
I would say also, too, they're an excellent defensive team. They probably don't get enough credit for that. We talk so much about the three-point shots.
Well, they used to be, his game used to be 94 feet defensive, and they don't quite press you that way anymore, but they do a great job of forcing you to the sidelines where the out-of-bounds guy is another defender.
Got 30 seconds. LSU, Maryland, LSU playing pretty well. They certainly got some off-the-court problems, but where you see this game?
LSU, I think the players, you know, Doug, and you know this because you've been around them. I think that the coaching change and all this stuff that's going on, a 19 or 20-year-old is able to look past that, get over that, concentrate playing on the game. I think probably after this amount of time, that's not really on their mind anymore. Hated to see Belmont not win that game to get in there. They had a chance. It would have been a wonderful thing for Nashville, for Belmont, and for Coach Rick Byrd. So LSU, I like them to beat Maryland.
Billy, talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow about Tennessee. We're looking for this one today.
All right, before we get out of here, let's bring on, as we always do, our old buddy from RJ Young, Hunter McCarty. Hunter, internet terrorism, is a term that we've, quite frankly, been hearing too much of. I know that's an area that RJ Young is right in the middle of. Let's talk a little bit about it.
Doug, you're right. That was a term I heard used this week. So we talk about terrorism, and we know what that is. But when you start talking about internet terrorism, that affects everybody. And this term kind of describes the fact that there are, we estimate, to be a new network threats at the rate of about 8 per second. So you can see what's going on. The hackers are looking to exploit any weaknesses. They can be in networks, gaps in data security, or through printers and copiers. So security must be taken seriously, and every organization needs constant monitoring and a disaster plan in the event of a breach. So there's a saying that it's not if it's going to happen, but when you have a breach. So RJ Young's Managed Service Division, we can help with monitoring and developing a security plan. We work with a lot of organizations and companies, and we have these in place today, and be glad to help anybody with that.
Well, and this isn't cookie cutter. The other part of it is that each and many different businesses, organizations, they need different type of plans. Mm-hmm. That's where you all come into it.
That's right. It depends on what type of business it is and what your data is, and we try to develop a plan. It's, as you said, it's not cookie cutter. Each company has a separate plan, and we develop that with the company and decide what their best course of action will be if they do have a breach and how we can rectify that quickly.
Hunter, thanks so much, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Hunter McCarty with R.J. Young. Got just a few seconds here before we got to get out here. I did want to mention Don King normally on with us with the TWRA. He is out today. Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency. Can't say enough about this organization. One of the reasons I love to have him on here, because this state is full of lakes. It's full of hunting, fishing, bird watching. There's a name for that. I forget what it's called. Anyway, that's where the TW, Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency, comes into it. If you are not taking advantage of their website, tnwildlife.org, you're missing a great part of this state if you're an outdoorsman. Thanks to Ryan Albanese for producing. Also, of course, Tony Barnhart. Charles Davis will be back next week. Billy the Legend Justice. And we'll see you next Saturday. If you're a Big Orange fan, we'll be on tomorrow, 8 to 9 on Big Orange Sunday.